Good morning. 7:14 a.m., April 26th, 2012, a Thursday morning, if my calendar is right, and I hope my elder daughter got off to school okay. I'm not 100% sure. The morning ride was running late, and I left anyway. So we'll see if she makes it to school on time. If not, she'll get dinged for another missed class. It's also trash day, so I spent a goodly portion of the morning dragging trash to the curb. It's recycle day, so I had to make sure I had all the recyclables out. So it's been a busy morning so far, and it's not that late yet. Yesterday was a wash. I got a little bit of stuff done. I did get the backyard mowed. But what wound up happening was taxi service. I just about got all the kids to school when I started getting phone calls to go pick them up again. Younger daughter stayed home all day anyway. But I had to take elder daughter and her companion to school. And while I was working on formatting, it occurred to me that it would be a good day to mow the backyard. So I went and mowed the backyard. Halfway through that, I had to go pick up elder daughter because she was sick. And then went back to mowing the yard, at which point it was almost time to go back and pick up a companion. And then I had to come home. And then I had to fix dinner. And Joyce would not be pleased with my productivity today. Yesterday. I hope it's going to be better today. I'm guessing that the wife will stay home today, that younger daughter has been put on notice that she can't stay up all night and then sleep all day and miss school. The reality of having her with her own electronic devices is coming to bear some unfortunate fruit for her, I'm afraid. So we're going to have to confiscate cell phone, Kindle, netbook, all the stuff that she really likes. Can't seem to turn off in time to go to bed. Probably going to have to confiscate those at bedtime. That's a plan that we've considered in the past, and it becomes readily apparent that it's something that we're going to have to do in order to get her to go to school in the morning. Because if she wants it back, she has to go to school. So, let's see, what else? Portal, there was a link. I put a link in the sidebar and talked about Portal Reborn yesterday. I still have to do something for Solar Clipper to tell people about it there. Looks like an ambitious project. I hope it does well. I still haven't made my Balticon reservations. I need to do that today because I have to fly in 4 weeks. So I need to do that pretty much today if I want to get a seat on the plane. Balticon itself is not generally speaking a problem, but getting there can sometimes be an expensive challenge. I need to do that today. That's something I can pretty much do regardless of who's around, so that'll work out okay. Saphir's call is very much in the forepart of my brain as I'm working on formatting for Divine Intervention and reading the feedback, which is generally pretty good. I've had a couple of comments that have got me thinking about the story. Generally, the comments are positive. I've got an equal number of people who like the ending and who hate the ending. I should rephrase that, who love the ending and who hate the ending. And then most people are, that's pretty cool. So I figure I'm pretty much right on. I've already been cautioned that this story is likely to alienate people of a more moral conviction than perhaps I am, which is okay. It's right in the title. It's blasphemy. If you don't want to read blasphemy, don't read it. So I expect that there's going to be a certain amount of hate and discontent generated by the fact that I'm purposefully putting out this rather questionable story that calls into issue some of the basically fundamental tenets of a major religion. And I confess that I'm doing it just to explore what if. Now, the what if it's true, I have a hard time with. Now, what if it's false is a lot easier to cope with, because it's much easier to see how it could be false than to see how it could be true. I suppose that's what they mean by leap of faith. You have to have faith that something that is inherently impossible actually works. Sort of like magic. Just an interesting sidelight to religion. The religion as magic system. See, that was one of the things that when I was talking to the middle schoolers about Star Wars and how generally science fiction didn't have fantasy elements, and they thought that Star Wars had magic in it. And I had to point out that no, Star Wars has religion in it. And science and religion have long time been bedfellows. Magic has been somewhat relegated to other areas. So it's interesting feedback so far. I'm still waiting for a couple, but I'm pretty happy with the way things have rolled out with it. I'm pretty pleased with the responses that I've gotten so far. My main beta readers, my primary beta readers, have not yet responded. So a lot of the folks here have, but I'm still waiting for a couple of the primary people who generally help steer me. For what it's worth, they've been watching the story progress as it comes out and have been pleased with it, generally speaking. I don't expect that to change too much. There's a couple of comments about whether or not the relationship between Luke and God is sufficient. It's sufficiently explored. And, it's an interesting question. Because, to my mind, it's pretty clear. But it may not be on the page. That's the problem, that it would be there. Now, frankly, the other side of that is I'd really require a certain level of ambiguity here. Because the ambiguity is really the story. The ambiguity for allowing the reader to read into that relationship, which is loosely sketched as a kind of adversarial relationship between the two. We don't really know what the coup d'etat was, what it was going to be, what he was going to do with it. And that's on purpose. That was just I won't say MacGuffin, because although I suppose it does set up the plot. He had a plot, a plan, to just chuck the whole thing and get into a different line. To get out of the creation business and do something different. We don't know what that might have been. And to a greater extent, I don't think it really matters. It's not part of what I was hoping to explore with the story, which is how faith conflicts with personal belief. So I think it does do what I want it to do. The story actually had two extra lines that I cut out. Because I thought the story ended with that line that I left in there. They stopped, when they started listening to the bells, they stopped listening to their hearts. Because that's really the punchline. That's really where the story ends. That's really that's really where everything is set up for. I mean, setting him up to write the book, setting him up to do the book, setting him up to set up the stories, and then the recap with them fumbling through the folders on the desk in the last act. That's all geared toward, to a certain extent, magic. It's a misdirection. There's nothing in my left hand. See, nothing in the sleeve, nothing between my fingers, nothing around my wrist. Left hand is perfectly clear. Oh, look, here's my right hand. Bang. And maybe that's not a valid structure. All right, I have to pause the recording because I just got a phone call. All right, 7:28. I'm picking up the walk. I stopped. The drive this morning, the ride this morning, was late, and I had to call a late slip in for my daughter. Sometimes I think it would just be easier to do it myself, honest to God. It's not true, because most days it works pretty well. Most days it's pretty seamless and largely transparent. This semester, this whole school year has been a bit of an anomaly. In the past, it's done very well. And we can go for weeks at a time without having any problems, but then we'll have whole weeks where things just go west. Anyway, so the story, yeah. The idea of the book, the idea of paying attention to the book and then hitting you with the bells, it has to do with external frames of reference. Because the book is all about an external frame of reference. It's about where do you take your orders from. And the fact that he was nervous about something that he had done in the 13th century, which turned out to be clocks, was one of those things where the ultimate external frame of reference was imposed on largely on the world culture, far beyond anything that happened in religion, far beyond anything that happened in the spiritual life, far beyond anything that might have happened as a result of having the Bible or the Quran or any of those things. The clock fundamentally changed humans. And that's really what this story, little did I know, but this literally is what that story is about, is that for all of the trappings, for all of the things that happened, for all of the religious belief, the fundamental shift in humankind happened with the clock. Because the clock, as I was tick-tocking the other day, the clock changed everything. It changed how we see ourselves. It changed how we see our relationship with the world. It changed our relationship with work. It changed our relationship with God. It changed our relationship with everything. Because from that point forward, we measure time, and everything has a timeline. That's the story, anyway. Whether you agree with me or not, it's okay. You don't have to agree with me. It's just a story. But it struck me as being, I thought, an interesting one. And I'm glad to have it finished, because this is a story that I started way back. Back in olden days, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I'd have to check the logs now to find out when the quickie page got created. But long time. My goodness, sirens and horns. These are all, if there's a fire or there was a serious accident or I don't know what the story is. Sprinkler day, so I don't have to mow the lawn. I did get the backyard mowed yesterday. I'll do the front yard tomorrow. I did get some of the wood taken care of, some of the sawing done. I'll do a little bit more of that today when I need a break or a mid-morning, late morning. Assuming that I'll get morning to work in, that is. I want to get this story formatted and ready to go so that if there are any changes that come in, I'll be ready to post them into the final product, get that put up. The other thing I need to do is to take, I've got a light in the dark on my website as a purchase link through PayPal store. And I really need to get that into my Ekwid store. I have a plugin that's selling ebooks of Ravenwood. Nobody, as far as I know, nobody's used it. But I need to get that fixed too. Because I had somebody order a book last week and I didn't see the notice come through on the email, so I forgot to. I didn't know enough to send them a copy of the book. I felt bad. It was a week. Morning. Overcast. Oh, there's a cat. Run, kitty, run. I need to get my eyes checked. That's an appointment I'm not looking forward to. Normally getting your eyes checked isn't that big a deal, but I'm afraid this time it's going to be a bit more on the traumatic side. Cataracts are getting to the point now where I'm going to need to do it so that I can maintain my driving status. Sucks to get old, but the alternatives are grave. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful morning. The air is kind of moist, which is very unusual, as I've pointed out in the past. I think it's not just the fact that everybody's got their sprinklers, or all the even-numbered houses have their sprinklers going today. Odd numbers tomorrow. I think the cloudiness is helping keep the humidity up a bit. It's quite lovely. A very greeny smell, lots of lilacs. Which probably explains why everybody in my house is having allergy attacks. While the faint scent of lilac works wonders for my peace of mind, it wreaks havoc with the sinuses in my household. Or maybe that's just an excuse, I don't know. Anyway, crossing the last street, stepping up onto my shaggy lawn. So I'm at the back gate. And tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.